Wow. Christmas Eve. It just seemed like it was just Christmas Eve, and here we are again. I mean, the year was like lightning fast, you must admit. So if you've been counting down the days till Christmas, quit counting the days. It's only hours. Yeah. It's only hours, folks. You know, Christmas is an amazing time of the year. It's still the largest holiday in the world. In almost every corner of the globe, this is one of the largest celebrations of the year. Yes, it's a celebration. It's a celebration of our Savior's birth. In fact, not only is it focused one day a year, but at least for an entire month, we're put into this. So 1/12 of the year is focused on this day. But like every year, when we encounter this moment, think about our focus. It has been on shopping for the right presents, decorating the inside and outside of our homes. And do they decorate? How about putting up the tree? It has just got to be just right. The ornament's got to be placed just properly. And then you got the baking of the cookies. And you know, this is the first year that your pastor did not bake one cookie. Nope. Have all the ingredients. Just didn't have the time. Because I spend time in the Word, the Word, the Word. That was more important to me. But I will get to baking some cookies. But how about all the other food favorites? And then all those traditions. How about the Christmas parties we're going to be attending? Or the ones you're going to be hosting? How about planning tomorrow's meal? And you know, at the top of all of it, life at its fast pace has just been consuming. And especially with all the craziness that has been going on in the world, in our nation, it's just been like, wow. But so for tonight, though, clear your thoughts. Just clear your thoughts out. Get rid of the to-do things. They'll happen. And how about all the places you got to go? You'll get there. You'll be with family. You'll be with friends. And don't be anxious about nothing. I'm telling you, focus your thoughts on this night of celebration of the birth of our Savior and King, Jesus. That's what it's about. That's where our focus needs to be. So tonight, put the pause on. Put the pause on. I'm sure many of us are familiar with the poem, The Night Before Christmas. Right? Goes, "'Twas the night before Christmas, when all through the house, not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. In hopes, right? What are we hoping for? Right? But it says the stockings were hung by the chimney with care in hopes that St. Nicholas soon would be there. My hope is in Jesus. In many homes, this poem has become a Christmas tradition. Usually it's read on Christmas Eve, just before bedtime. And I can remember hearing and reading it as a small boy. And then later, I read it to my two girls. It has been made into many a TV shows and especially done in a cartoon form. You know, I've never memorized the whole thing, but I think I could remember quite a bit of it. Let's dash away, dash away. Okay. For a long winter's night. Okay. You know, see how easy you can drift off? Could you remember that? For those of us who have at least experienced a church service around Christmas time, I'm sure we're all quite familiar with the Christmas story. Christmas marks more than a holiday for us. It is a pivotal moment in our history. A moment that marks time itself, B.C., before Christ, A.D., Anno Domini, that means in the year of the Lord. Every event on our calendar is referenced to that moment, the birth of Jesus Christ. In the biblical Christmas story, we know the main characters. We got Mary, we got Joseph, we got the baby Jesus, and we got the angels, and we got them shepherds out there. We're familiar with the setting of the story. The journey from Nazareth to Bethlehem, because of the census decree, for the purpose of taxing, the manger, the stable, and we got the star. So we're going to look at Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, the Christmas story. I'm going to start reading of verse 8. Verses 8 and 9 says, "Now there was in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them. The glory of the Lord shone all around them, and they were terrified." An angel of the Lord stood before them. Now, maybe that doesn't mean much to you. Maybe for all of you, angels, they've appeared so many times that it's like, hey, this is nothing. You know, I can just hear it now. Oh, babe, look who dropped by to watch the race with us. Get out some of that good angel food cake with that dream whip topping that you make on it. Yeah. Maybe you have just seen too many angels. Angels appeared to them. These men were shepherds, the low class of society. They weren't even allowed into the temple to worship because they were religiously unclean because of their professions. And God chose these shepherds to make his announcement to. And may I remind you, God made a shepherd boy king over Israel. You can see who God uses. Was that shepherd boy equipped? No. But God called him and he equipped him to do the job. An angel of the Lord stood before them. The glory of the Lord shone all around them, and they were terrified. This angel appeared. Who knows? Maybe he was like 14 foot two. I'm not sure. And the glory of the Lord shines all around them. It was dark, pitch black out there, and all of a sudden, it is super daylight. It is bright. Think about that for a moment. Saying that they were terrified? Oh, yeah. I'll bet they were. I bet they were shaking in them sandals of theirs and probably unlacing and falling down. So when Christmas came, there wasn't all that, oh, Merry Christmas, ho, 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 to you. And you know, no, when Christmas came, people were scared and they were terrified. They were freaked out. Christmas does that to a lot of us, doesn't it? But the angel said to them in verse 10, "Don't be afraid." All right, you got this big angel standing there. It's like daylight out. And he says, "Don't be afraid." Yeah, right. Notice in our Bibles, though, whenever angels appear, they always have to say, "Do not be afraid." Then the angel gives the opening line of all opening lines. He says, "I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." What an opening line. Can you hear him saying that to those shepherds? "I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people." See, that's what tonight is all about. The good news which brings great joy. And did you catch that? Though it said it would be for all the people. Not just for them, for all people. These simple shepherds could not have known the magnitude of this moment they were in. The domino effect into eternity itself. Billions who were to come, all affected by the words of this announcement from God, spoken by the angel. Our Bibles contain good news, which brings great joy. And if we are not experiencing great joy, it may be because we have disconnected from the good news. The great joy comes from the good news, and the good news is what brings the great joy. Word up. And the hope and expectation is that it is for all people. Here in the sanctuary tonight, this is the hope and confident expectation, and that is that everyone here can experience the miraculous, miracle, powerful Christmas ever. Because if you've never made Jesus your Lord and your Savior, this is your night. This is your night. For there is no one left out. This story in Luke is for all people. The good news of great joy in this story is what Christmas is really all about. Our Savior's birth. Our Savior's birth. The shepherds here, they're doing their everyday thing. They're minding their own business when they receive a herald's call, an announcement of declaration. The Messiah is coming. The Messiah is coming. "I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." Verse 12, "This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom His favor rests." Good news of great joy. Good news for all people. Good news, a Savior has been born. Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom His favor rests. God has found favor upon us. Our great joy comes from the good news, and the good news brings the great joy. So good news. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. What great joy. Now, something happened for the shepherds in that moment. There was an urgency to go and check this thing out. Because in verse 15 it says, when the angels had left them, imagine that, and gone into heaven, they're up there doing their thing, and all of a sudden all the angels come out, and they're singing, glory to God in the highest heaven, singing away. And all of a sudden, they finish their announcement, they march, go back up, go up, and the door goes closed. And the shepherds all stand like, what do we do now? When the angels had left them, verse 15, and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. All I got to say is, that's a good move on the shepherd's part. Get up and go see what those angels had declared to them. When the angel of the Lord appears to you, and the heavens are opened up to you, and a multitude of heavenly hosts are singing, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. There's a Savior. He has been born. He's in Bethlehem. And there's a baby in a manger. You should go see Him. When the angel leaves, you should make it with haste to go and see Him. A Savior has been born to us. You need to see Him. You need to see Him. And it's a simple prayer, which we will get to. So, the shepherds hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen Him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. Verse 19, though. But Mary, she treasured up these things and pondered them in her heart. They're talking about her child who was only hours old. And they're saying these things. He's going to be a Savior. He's going to be a King. All you. But can you see her, though, picking up her baby after the shepherds spoke and just holding him in her arms? Those with newborns, those mums, when you pick up that infant, he's all swaddled, or her, and you're looking at that face and you're just rocking them. So can you see Mary doing that? See, in so many ways, Mary was just like every other mother who has swaddled, held, and looked at the face of a newborn while rocking them to sleep. But Mary, she was no ordinary mother, and her son was certainly no ordinary child. But there, in the stable, every breath, every touch, every second, for her was precious. Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart that had been spoken over her child. There's a song that we sang years back. And I can hear that song when she's just looking at that child. You know, in that prayer, in there, there's a prayer that she says. And the prayer she might have whispered to God that night while holding Jesus, knowing what she knew from when she was told she would have a child by an angel who had told her, don't be afraid. And just so you understand, it was through the Holy Spirit, God's Holy Spirit, that came and spoke to her. And she says, I'm your servant. I am willing. He didn't force himself upon her. He could have, but he did not. That is our Holy Spirit. That is God's Spirit. He won't force himself on any of you. He won't make you do anything that you don't want to do for him. For him. Think about that for a moment. So she surrendered herself unto God at that moment. But so now you think back, now she's holding this child that was promised. And she looks at those babies and she says to God, give me this night to just be his mother. Give me this moment to just let him be my child. He has the rest of his life to be a savior, but so little time to simply be mine. So give me, please give me this night. Because see, for 9 months, it had seemed he was hers all alone. Thinking back to that day when she first learned that she would have a baby, once again, Mary surrendered her heart, her will, and her child. Verse 20, the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. They're going out and proclaiming the good news. And when the people heard the good news, it brought them great joy. So that night, it was joy to the world. Joy unspeakable. Now, I love Christmas. All the giving, all the receiving of gifts, all the celebrating. But I'm telling you, tonight, this is what Christmas is all about. The Holy Child, Jesus. God's Son, born as a Savior for us. The birth of Jesus in that manger so many years ago, who was born to save the world. Christ the Lord, a baby. A baby changed everything. See, this is the heart and soul of Christmas. And tonight, this is all we need. It is the greatest story ever. As the shepherds did that night, we also should be glorifying and praising God for all of these things. See, the good news that brings great joy in this story is true tonight here at ACA. And that has been true for every century. And it was true 115 years ago, when the very first words spoken on the radio were these words from Luke chapter 2. A man named Reginald Fessenden, he invented the AM radio. At first, all it could do was transmit Morse code, which was a pretty big deal back in those days. He was one of the chief inventors working for Thomas Edison. He worked out this new way of communicating so that all the ships working up on the Atlantic Ocean in the northern seaboard could hear the tap, tap, tap of the Morse code. He even had done a transatlantic Morse code transmission. On Christmas Eve, 1906, and when I said 1906, my grandfather was 6 years old. He was born in 1900. Well, he had been fooling around with his invention, and he had gotten it, Roger, souped up enough, you know. How you play with something, you get it to fine-tune that baby to really put out. He got it souped up enough that he thought it was ready to transmit human voice. So with no press releases, no news media blasts, and no social media announcements, in that night, in the silence of AM radio on Christmas Eve, 1906, Reginald Fessenden opened his Bible and read the very same chapter we are reading from tonight. And into the silence of the night came the Christmas story from Luke 2. The very first words ever spoken on the radio were God's words. Don't tell me God didn't have his hand in radio and communications back then. When used properly, it can do major and mighty things. But when it's used improperly, and your freedom of using it and expressing your speech are taken away from you. Glory be to God. But it's God who brought forth that and used his word to demonstrate it. But can you imagine you are on a ship? In fact, you're a ship captain. And you're out in the Atlantic. And every so often, you hear the tap, tap, tap. And all of a sudden, a human voice starts speaking. You look at that little black box there. And you're all alone on Christmas Eve, out in the Atlantic, and someone starts telling you the good news. Great joy for all people. A Savior has been born to you, and He is Christ the Lord. Now, after his reading, Reginald, who was also an accomplished musician, played O Holy Night on his viola. O Holy Night. The stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. And that's the way it happened. This night, December 24th, 1906. For us tonight, it is a holy night. A night of celebration. The birth of Jesus. It is the good news which brings us great joy. And it's for all people. A Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. A Savior has been born to you. If you have never made Jesus your personal Lord and Savior, this is your opportunity. And I'm going to give you that opportunity. And it's, how hard is it? You say a prayer. Yes, say a prayer. It's that simple. And if you need to recommit your life to Christ because you've been away, this is your also your opportunity to commit yourself back into serving Him. Back in letting Him be the Lord of your life. So just say this with me, please, all of you. Let's just say it together. Say, oh God in heaven, thank you for giving Jesus to me. I believe Jesus died for me on the cross, was buried, and placed in the grave for 3 days. But in 3 days, He rose from the grave, ever living, to make intercession for me, to erase my sins, to make me clean. Forgive me, Lord God. And I ask you right now, come into my heart, be my Lord, and be my Savior. Amen. That's it, folks. That's how easy it is. Though the good news is, we have a Savior. And He's still for us, still there for us to call on. Every moment of the day. He will never leave you. He's always there. Always there. When you don't think He's there, He's there. You reach out to Him, He will bring you the comfort that you need. So we're going to celebrate. We're going to celebrate. We're going to take communion tonight in honor of His birth, but also in honor of His death. Because His death, that He died, was for us.